Blog Talk Radio.
Care can be messy. That's why Whirlpool gives you customized care for any mess.
She just got all over me.
Simply select what to wash and how to wash it.
Don't poop, don't poop.
To get the perfect cycle.
Oh, man.
For the perfect clean. Every day, care. Whirlpool.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Pete!
Hey, yes, time to stomp. Good evening and welcome to The Work Is Done. This is a product of Beverly Nation. We're broadcasting to you live out of Lagos, Nigeria. I am your host for the evening, Pastor Kevin Perry out of Awesome Faith Christian Center, located in the beautiful city of now Bradenton, Florida. And I'm welcoming everyone listening to our program tonight. The Work Is Done. Tonight, I want you to grab your phones, call in tonight, 516-453-9133. Once again, we have another great topic that's going to be up for discussion tonight. And tonight, we're going to be talking about denominational divisions. Denominational divisions. You know, every Sunday, you know, I did a message a couple of weeks ago. I talked about the most segregated day in the world. And how many of you know that Sunday, for most church people, is the most segregated day in the world, where, you know, we have all of these denominations, and basically what people are doing is they're dividing God. You know, you have, and understand this topic tonight, we're not coming against any particular denomination. We're not coming against any particular belief system. My goal for tonight is to really try to bring a sense of unity to the body of Christ, to bring a wholeness, not division, but to bring an awareness of how or what I believe, and notice what I'm saying, what I believe, how the church should be operating, because I believe, and we'll see through some of the scriptures that I'm going to read tonight, that the intention when Jesus established the church, I believe the intention was to bring unity into the body, not division, not, you know, some of the stuff that we see going on every Sunday where you have, you know, Baptists over here and Pentecostal over there, and then you have Methodists and Catholics and Protestants and Presbyterians. And you know, we have all of these denominations, and really what keeps us divided is doctrinal differences, you know. And I believe that there are a lot of people who gravitate towards a religion because, that, you know, that's what they're taught coming up. You know, when I was a child, you know, we went to church and we were Baptist. So as I became an adult and, you know, you would apply for jobs and things like that, they would ask you to list your religious background, you know. And I would always put down Baptist, not because I had an understanding meant to be Baptist, because I really didn't. And in my ignorance, and this is being truthful and transparent, in my ignorance, I just thought that all black people were Baptists. So that's what I put down, you know, for job applications. That's what I put down when I went in the military. You know, anytime somebody said, well, you know, what's your religious background? I would always say Baptist, thinking that that's what all black people were. And then, you know, you as you get older, you start to mature in things. You start to see other people and other denominations. And then we always, you know, would wonder, well, why do we have all these denominations? Well, what makes one different? And notice I said different. I didn't say better, because we're not talking about one being better. But what makes all of them just so different, you know? And it, what it really boils down to is doctrinal differences, you know? You have one belief system that says that, you know, baptism is total submersion in water. You have another belief system that says, well, all you need to do is just be sprinkled with water, and that's baptism. Another denomination says that women can't be preachers or pastors. One belief system says that children can't be baptized. So what I'm saying is that you have all of these doctrinal differences And then you begin to question, well, at least I did, and I'm still in the process of questioning. You know, I'm still in that process. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't gotten, you know, to where I'm going into the detail on all of them. But you start to question, like, where do these things, why are we so divided? If we believe that, you know, Jesus came to die for us all, if we believe that, and we believe that he is the Son of God, that God, you know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, and then, you know, then we look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and that God has raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. And then Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the Bible is clear of what it means, or the methodology to getting saved. The Bible is clear on that. So if we just look at that, those two scriptures, Romans 10:9 and 10:10. If we just look at those two, then where did all these other things come into place that tells us now, if you belong to this church, you have to dress this way. If you belong to that church, you have to do things this way or that way. See, to me, you know, when I look at it, that's, I see man's involvement. That's what I see. I see man's involvement in trying to establish the relationship with God, one that God has already set forth. When we read his word, we see that he has already set forth the methodology of having a relationship with him. So, but when man puts his stamp on it or puts his input, his involvement, then we come up with new sets of rules and regulations that oftentimes are either not biblical or can be a very gross misinterpretation of what the scripture is actually saying. So what I did was I looked at probably the first sermon, and we can call it that, the first sermon that was preached after Jesus commissioned the apostles, after really he commissioned Peter, all right? Because we know that, you know, he told Peter, he said, listen, you are Peter, and I'm going to call you the rock. On you will be the foundation of the church. I'm paraphrasing here. You know, he gave Peter the church. He said, I'm going to establish the church through you, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? So that's what he did with Peter. And then when you go to Acts chapter 2, and you look at Peter's first sermon, this is after the day of Pentecost. Jesus told the disciples, he said, tarry in Jerusalem, you know, wait till you are endued with power from the Holy Spirit. All right, so now they're up in this upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes, like, and the Bible describes it as like tongues of fire, and it landed on all the disciples, and the Bible says that they began to speak in other tongues. All right, so now we see the promise being fulfilled. Jesus had been telling them, he said, listen, when I go, I won't leave you orphans. You know, I won't leave you comfortless. When I leave, the Holy Spirit now is going to come, and he's going to live in you. And we see that that took place on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, he came and he landed on the disciples. And the Bible says that they began to speak in other tongues. So that brings us kind of really to one of the first divisions that we see, because you still have certain denominations out here that are still having tarrying services. Oh, we're going to tarry for the Holy Spirit. Well, how can you tarry for something that's already been provided. Again, it's a misinterpretation of the scriptures. We see in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit already came. He's already here and available to live in us. You don't have to tarry for him. You know, even when you read through the book of Acts, you know, and Paul, you know, when he got to a group of believers, he was asking, he said, man, have you guys received the Holy Spirit yet? And they said, well, we hadn't even heard that there was a such thing. And then the Bible says they prayed for them and laid hands, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have tarrying services anymore. That's not what's required. But why? But yet people are still following that trend of thought. They're still believing that you have to tarry, and the word tarry means to wait. You know, not saying that you guys didn't know that, but I like to clarify some things. That means that you have to wait on the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait. It's just like, you know, you guys are out there listening to this broadcast right now. It would be foolish of me to say tune in so that you can listen. You're already listening. It's already being done right now. You don't have to wait for the Work Is Done broadcast to take place. Why? Because it's taking place right now. All right? So now let's look at this first message that Peter preached. All right? Let's see here. I believe we do. We have a caller on the line. So if we do, let's go to the caller, and then we're going to go to our first track. Caller, are you there?
Well, the first caller actually hung up, and so we're going to bring that caller back on these stations, and we'll go to our next track right now, Pastor Kevin Perry.
All right.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
With you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
Am
my people say,
our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame DJ tonight, Brother O. You know, he's been playing the Grammy Award-winning music of Kirk Franklin, one of the best at it. So, yes, welcome back to The Work Is Done, where we're talking about denominational divisions. If you want to be a part of the conversation tonight, you can do so by calling in at 516-453-9133. Call in, be a part of this conversation. Let me know what you think tonight about denominational divisions. So right before our break, we were getting ready to talk about the first sermon that Peter preached and how effective it was, you know, how effective his message was, and really not just that it was effective, but how simple it was. It was just in its simplicity. It was so, you know, to the point. All right. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" All right. Now that's really, he says, number one, repent. Then let every one of you be baptized, number two, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he says in three, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we had talked before the break about, you know, certain denominations still having tarrying service. But why tarry for something that is already made available to you? All you have to do is receive it. If I were to present you with a birthday gift, you know, I wrapped it up nicely for you and I gave it to you. The gift is yours. You may not know what's in the gift, but the gift is yours. And you won't know what's contained in it until you open it and see what's contained on the inside. But yet you still have the gift. And see, that's how it is, you know, the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people, you know, when you have access to that power, you don't even tap into it. So that's a whole nother discussion that we'll have, you know, as far as tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. But once you have the gift, amen, you have to open it up. You don't have to wait for me to give you the gift. I've already given it to you. It's just that you have to open it up to see what it is. All right. So Peter's message was clear. He said, number one, repent, be baptized, and receive. Point blank, period. So now, if that was the original, if that was like the first sermon, and let's continue to read. Look at verse 39. It says, "For the promise to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice what Peter didn't say. He didn't say, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and then become a denomination. Become Baptist or Catholic or Presbyterian or Methodist. Nowhere in the Bible will you see any of these denominations listed. So if they're not listed, why is there such a mandate placed on people to be part of religious organizations? And see, the one thing that, you know, you'll never hear me do, see, I don't preach religion, because I believe that religion is man's way of establishing a relationship with God apart from God. That's what I think religion is. See, what I teach and preach is a relationship, because he wants to have a relationship with you. That's why Jesus said in Romans, that's why it says in the book of Romans, chapter 14, he said, no man can come up unto the Father but by me. That means you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to get to the Father. That's not religion. That's not practicing religious works and doing all these things that man institutes when it comes to denominational doctrines, because that's what it is. It's a form of institutionalized religion. And that's why, you know, I'm looking at this stuff. I'm looking at it. And I said, okay, let me just start picking certain religions to see, like, how far back they go, when these denominations started. You know, so the first one I chose was Baptist. And I'm like, well, who was really the founder of the Baptist religion? So, of course, I Googled it, and I came up with the name of John Smith back in the early 1600s. And I'm like, okay, well, here this guy was over in Holland, and him and a group of people got together, and they were kind of, he's kind of the founder of the Baptist religion. I even looked up Pentecostal and discovered the name of Agnes Usman. See, this stuff is online. It's on the internet if you want to look it up, you know. So I'm doing my research. I'm, like I said, I haven't fully arrived yet. I'm still learning, because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we have to study to show ourselves approved. So I'm being very diligent in studying these things, studying, you know, the different backgrounds on some of these denominations, because I want people to be free and understand what I'm saying. I want people to understand the freedom that they have in Christ, number one, and without all of the religious mandates that people try to impose on them. You know, when I was, you know, my mother told me, you know, when she was coming up, you know, because my grandfather was a pastor, that in their household, they couldn't even drink, like, sodas. Why? Because sodas, to them, was considered strong drink. Now, see, we can look back on that and we say, well, okay, oh yeah, well, that was foolishness. But that's what they believed. They couldn't go to the movies. They couldn't play certain games. Everything was a sin. It's like if you looked wrong, you were committing sin and you were going to hell. Women, there ain't no way were you able to wear pants. Not just you couldn't wear pants to church. A woman back in those days couldn't wear pants at all. At all. And you still have certain belief systems out here that still hold to that. As if a woman would be disqualified. Hear me now. That as if she would be disqualified from entering the kingdom because she wore pants. See, you gotta start seeing some of the foolishness So that's what it is to me. A lot of this stuff is just foolishness, and it's taking the word so far out of context and holding people hostage. That's what it is. It's holding people hostage, not to what God is saying, but to what man is interpreting God is saying, when all you have to do is go to the book. Once you go to the book, you'll see that, you know, he's not, all that stuff is not even a concern to God. It's not even a concern. We're going to take another break. Brother O, this internet radio Hall of Famer, he's going to come back with another track by the one and only Kirk Franklin, and we'll be right back here with The Work Is Done.
Mary, Mary. The earth is shaking.
Yeah.
Who gon' save the babies?
Yeah.
From another bloody Sunday. I'm singing Mayday, Mayday.
Yeah.
They love me or they hate me.
Yeah.
For my skin color.
Yeah.
But you say I am your brother.
Yes.
The government keep lying to me, telling me that they come to set the people free. But the power falls when you catch us on the knees. Heaven please, we're in a state of emergency. See, we need a strong God, yeah. We need the real God, yeah. The God with the resurrection power from the grave. To take away the hate, to heal the human race, yeah. We need a, we need a,
we need a,
we need a strong God.
Say Mayday, Mayday. They say the climate changing, the poor people in the cold, but you keep preaching to their soul. But we don't leave till everybody's free, and we won't sleep till everybody eats.
Yeah.
Until lives matter. More than ties matter.
Say government keep lying to me, telling me that they come to set the people free. But the power falls when you catch us on the knees. Heaven please, we're in a state of emergency. See, we need a
strong God.
Real strong, yeah. We need a
real God.
Yeah, yeah. The God with the resurrection power from the grave. To take away the hate, to heal the human race. See, we need a,
we need a,
we need a,
we need a
strong God.
We need a,
we need a,
we need
a, we need a,
let's go.
My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty. When will we finally see? We need a strong God, yeah. The government keep lying to me, telling me that they gonna set the people free. But the power falls when you catch us on our knees.
Oh,
heaven please, we're in a state of emergency. Cause we need a strong God, yeah. We need the real God, the God with the resurrection power from the grave,
yes.
To take away the hate,
yes.
To heal the human race.
Come on.
We need a, we need a,
we need a,
we need a,
we need a
strong God.
Yes, this is The Work Is Done. Welcome back. And we are, you know, talking about divisional, denominational divisions. We read here in Acts chapter 2 where we see Peter, who preached his first sermon, and on that day, 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom of God. And his message was simple: repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Very simple message. And, you know, I've told you guys on many occasions, number one, I'm not the pastor for everybody, because you're not going to hear many pastors, you know, talking or having this type of discussion, preaching these kind of messages, because a lot of them out there, you know, they have one, you know, one goal, and that's just to put, you know, butts in seats and make sure that, you know, whatever. I'm not even going to get into it. But, you know, I just thank God for allowing me to be real, to be transparent, to be honest and open, and really to push those boundaries so that, you know, understanding can take place on a whole nother level. And it's not being vindictive, it's not, or vindictive, it's not being, you know, it's not attacking, you know, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm not attacking anybody. If you're listening to me, what I'm trying to do tonight, what I'm endeavoring to do, is just to bring a level of understanding and awareness as to what the Bible says. Because a lot of times, if people, when you don't study this thing for yourself, then you open yourself up to be dictated to. And here's a great example of that. If any of you have seen the movie Birth of a Nation, the movie about Nat Turner, you know, he's an educated man. He knew how to read, and he was a pastor. But the slave owners, when they brought him to their plantations, they only wanted him to preach the parts of the Bible that had to do with submission and obedience. And because the rest of the slaves, they didn't know how to read. They didn't know that really the overall theme of the Bible was love, you know. And then the Bible said that you can't even treat your slaves harshly. They weren't allowed to know that part. So they could only be dictated to by the person who was given the authority over them. Same thing, and it's sad because that same type of thing is happening today in some of these churches. Because, you know, people, you know, I say for a lot of people, you know what their Bible study consists of? Opening up that Bible to the 23rd Psalm and sitting it on their mantle or on their coffee table so that when you go in their house, you see that their Bible is open to the 23rd Psalm. And then, you know, when I have conversations with people and I ask them, well, you know, you say you're a believer. What's your favorite verse? And most of them will go right to that, well, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, why is that the only one you know? If you're supposed to be having this relationship with God, I mean, the only scripture you know is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's not having a relationship. That's being religious. Because you're not studying or getting to know the one that you're supposed to be in covenant relationship with. And because now you don't look to see for yourself, you allow yourself with a whole bunch of mandates and tradition and doctrines. And people follow that blindly. Again, not talking about anybody in particular. I just want to bring an awareness that you got to open your eyes to see what's intended for you. See, that's why I do, that's why I preach the way I do. That's why I minister the way that I do. And it's not for everybody. Some people just like to be stuck right where they are. Some people are just so convinced that the truth that they've, you know, are accustomed to, that they grew up with, they just believe that that's the truth. And when you come with anything different, then, oh, no, you're the person bringing it is the crazy one. Well, no, that ain't true because that's not what I've been taught. Well, you got to consider that, man, maybe what I was taught was wrong. You know, I was brought up in church. Like I said, my grandfather was a pastor. I was brought up in church. But guess what? And my grandfather was an awesome man of God in my eye. But still, he didn't teach us how to walk by faith. He didn't teach us how to live by faith. See, so what I found out was that really, you know, especially during that time that he came up, he was just preaching what he had been taught. He just kept that cycle going. You can't drink strong drink. Well, that means you can't even have a soda. But that was considered strong drink. Now, for a lot of people, soda is bad for you anyway. It ain't nothing but sugar. But no, when they read strong drink in the Bible, they considered a Pepsi to be strong drink. And these are the things that we're talking about. And if you've experienced any of that, or you know, you have a comment or a question, call in tonight. Let's talk about it. Even if you don't agree, and it's okay. I mean, I'm sure there may be some people out there who have grown accustomed to listening to my show. I'm sure that, you know, you may not agree with everything that I say, and I'm okay with that. I don't take it personally. I don't get offended easily. If you have an opinion, a comment, feel free to call me and say, hey, Pastor, I don't agree. I think you're wrong, you know, and we can have a conversation. I don't mind having conversations, especially when it concerns the Word, because like I said, you know, anything that I'm saying, I'm going to take you to the Word and not just, you know, one scripture. See, when I study, I combine the old and the new with the old and anything in between. And then I read different translations, the King James, the New King James, the New Living Translation, the Message Bible, the Amplified. I read different translations. I'll go online and I'll read commentary because when I minister, I want to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. And if I don't know it, I'll be the first one to tell you, well, I need to research that. I'll get back to you. If you ask me a question, I'll get back to you because I don't know everything. But I'm always willing to learn. So now when I'm talking about these denominational differences, I'm just simply talking about we just as a body, we need to be unified. Because how does the world, how can we say we going out into the world to reconcile the lost back to Christ? That's one of our mandates as believers. Reconciling, because we are now ministers of reconciliation according to the Bible. So we, our job now is to reconcile the lost back to Christ. But how can you reconcile the lost if we're divided? Yeah, that, and all they see every Sunday is division. I want to go to this church, but, you know, this church is preaching this, and this church over here is believing that. So how do I know which one should I go to? I even take it a step further because our church is non-denominational. And again, in my ignorance, I thought that non-denominational was something that took place probably within the last, you know, 50 years. No, you know, the non-denominational started way back in the 18th century. How many of you knew that? So, you know, I'm always in a position where I'm learning. Hey, we got a caller. We're going to go to the lines. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Pastor, it's Jerry Petito. How are you?
Hey, Ms. Jerry, I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I just want to let you know, I shared your video that popped up on my memory of the addiction. I love it, and I shared it again, just so you know.
I did see that.
I love it. I always go back to that when I'm helping people in recovery. But I want to talk about what you're talking about. So,
okay.
And I've shared all this stuff before. You know, I grew up Catholic and all that, and I questioned everything young, even as a kid, and I left the Catholic religion, and I gave my life to Christ. and I'm not perfect by far. I sin every day, but I have God. Okay. So I actually had a conversation with someone about 2 years ago that I'll never, ever forget. And a very close relative of mine, that's all I'm going to say. And we grew up together. We're the same age. And she goes to her Catholic church probably 3 or 4 times a week to get her fix, to get whatever she needs. So I'm constantly preaching, just got to really accept Jesus Christ. It's not about religion, blah, 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 blah. I asked her a question. Are you ready for this? I said, what if God himself came down and said to you that religion is not what I'm about, that Catholic Church has nothing to do with me? Would you leave it? Do you know what she said to me? No.
What'd she say?
She said no.
Mm.
So she would actually say that to God. So what I understood through talking to so many people over the years about God and religion and accepting Jesus and all this stuff is they need to be comfortable in their own skin, and a lot of them won't come out of their comfort zone. So when they're brought up and told and taught, this is how you have to do it. This is the church you have to go to. This is how we have to pray, and this is the service, and they're afraid to leave it. They don't know what to do. They're afraid to step out of that so-called box. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, you just hit the nail on the head. You're batting 100 right now. And that's what I was saying earlier in the broadcast, that when someone is brought up to believe a certain thing, they believe that that's true, regardless of, you know, what other people may be saying. And it's not until they actually get to a place where they have that personal encounter with Christ. See, you know, when you look at the Catholic religion is not really a personal relationship with Christ. Your relationship is with your priest, because you go to the priest.
Your relationship is with the church, not even the priest.
Right.
Because I went to Catholic school. It's with the church and the rules and the regulations and paying, and that's what it really is. I could say that because I was in Catholic school till 7th grade, until we moved here, and I could say that. I made my communion and confirmation, which to me is crazy. But, yeah.
And see, the reason why I say this is with the priest, I say that because they go to the priest for forgiveness. They don't go directly to God.
Yep.
You know, you go to confession and ask this man to forgive you of your sins, and then that man will tell you to do so many penance or so many Hail Marys or so whatever it is so that you can be forgiven. They don't have that direct relationship with God himself.
They're afraid of it. Pastor, when I was back in the day in New York, we used to make our communion confirmation younger than they do now. So I was probably in fourth grade, and they lined us up and they put us in this thing and made us go in the booth, and, you know, we had to say, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, blah, blah, blah. And I was a kid, you know. It scared the crap out of me. Anyway, I remember going home and saying to my mother, Mommy, why do I have to tell that strange man in that dark room that I was bad? Can't I just tell God? And she said, yep, you can. And that was the beginning of me starting to question everything about God and all that. My father, real quick, and then I'll let you go. My father was in hospice 3 years ago, and they send in priests all the time. And this, I'm in there alone with my father. My father is out of it. So he can't even accept. My father accepted Jesus in the tomb in Israel. I was there with my father in Israel. He accepted Jesus in the tomb. So here he is, you know, in hospice, completely out of it. Doesn't he, you know, they've got him under. And this priest thinks he's going to, like, pray my dad into heaven. So he says, hello, I'm Father so-and-so. I'm here. I'd like to pray with your father and you. And I said, oh. and I didn't call him father. I called him by his name on the tag. I said, oh, Joe, please sit down. And he looked at me. I said, I'll let you pray for my dad if you just hear what I have to say first. And he sat down, true story. And I said, first of all, I can't call you father. I'm sorry, because I only have two fathers, my earthly father and my heavenly father. I said, and second, my father's under. My father accepted Jesus in Israel in the tomb. I said, you're going to pray over my dad. I said, have you ever accepted Jesus? Do you know what he said?
What did he say?
He said, okay, it's time for me to leave now. And he got up and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, see,
that's the truth.
The thing.
Yep.
You know, when you expose people to the truth, a decision has to be made right then and there, because either you have or you haven't. And if you say that you believe the Bible, if you say you believe it, because for me, the Bible is the final authority. If you believe it, it says that you have. That's why I gave Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. And you have a lot of people who are in these positions. They call themselves priests and all these things, and they haven't done it.
Yep.
Just like that guy said.
That's right.
The only thing he could do was walk out, because right now
yep.
the truth is staring you in the face, and you have that decision to make. You're either going to hear it or you're not. But like you said, though, and like we said in this broadcast, there are going to be people who are going to hold to what they have been taught rather than be exposed and hear the truth. Hey, listen,
That's right.
want to thank Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting Shriney Jerry Petito for calling in, for her comments. But we have to take a break, and we'll be right back with the work is done.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me, so I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of seeing the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works if look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy?
Yeah.
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hand.
I'm talking to you to say,
if you're tired of seeing the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way.
You've been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
I feel this one right here. You're tired of you, then say,
I just wanna be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
tired of making the same mistakes.
Let me hear you say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But now's your chance.
Let me hear you say yeah.
Say yeah.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take no
more. Wanna do it?
He knows the road that you need to take.
It's so easy to complain. Long time, but I'm ready.
I just
want to
be happy.
Thank you, Lord. Every day, ask yourself,
do you want to be happy?
Yes. Pull over. Let him drive.
I just want to be happy.
Welcome back to The Work Is Done. Call in tonight. 516-453-9133. We're going back to the lines. Caller, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Pastor Perry, how you doing, man of God?
This is the one and only Magic Man. Brother Hooney, how are you tonight, brother?
I'm doing excellent, and I thank you so much for being used to answer one of my prayers I had for a while. Let me pull over right quick. I got to cut this off. I want you to hear me clearly.
Okay. Yes, please pull over.
Okay, now, here's the deal. And I can't wait until this archive. I love the digital age in which we're in because we can download it right away. Thanks to, the technology that we're having in this day and time. Here is a serious situation, especially amongst the melanated people, so-called black people, because I see many people be divided, but especially amongst the conquered and divided people, especially over here in the shores of America. And I have seen this. I was living in New York at the time. I'm going to show you how sick this really, really is. And it's a shame because, you know, with the teachings of the Lord and Savior, he didn't teach us the division in any way. The first two commandments should pretty much nullify any differences if they adhere to that. When he was asked what was the half of out of all the commandments or what was the first one, he said to love the Lord thy God with all your strength, your might, and with all your power, right? And the second one is for you to love each other the way that I have loved you.
Right.
And I said that to say this, and I've seen it happen right at Central Park. It was a sunny day, and I was out there on the bench, you know, having lunch, and there was three different people that came from what appeared to be three different religious walks of life. The first guy that walked up, he was considered a black Jew, so it's not just happening within the Christian faith, it's happening even amongst, you know, other denominations amongst them as well. Same thing with Islam. So anyway, the brother comes and, you know, he says shalom. I said shalom to him. The next brother that comes was a Christian brother. And he said, I greet you in the name of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. And I said, amen, right? So here comes the third and the final brother. He says, assalamu alaikum. I say, wa alaikum salam, right? And guess what happens next, man of God? Just take a wild guess.
What happened? You got us in suspense.
Oh, I'm sorry. All hell broke loose.
Okay, what happened? Talk to us.
I mean, they were about ready to kill each other. That's the best way I can put it, sir, is all hell broke loose, literally. They got the arguing over the Torah, over the Old Testament, New Testament. You know, and then, you know, and of course, the so-called converted Islamic guy, you know, he was like, well, you know, crime is unfallible. It's just, and I'm sitting here watching it like a tennis match. You get what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Your message tonight is really hitting home, because as a traveling man, I meet people all the time, but amongst the conquered and divided, like as I like to say, melanated or so-called African-Americans, I don't see any other race of people that's ready to fuss, fight, and argue over the differences, even to the point where they're ready to kill each other over differences.
Amen.
And it's, and
that's,
I thank
right.
you so much. I thank you so much for delivering this tonight, sir.
Well, listen, you know, you're on point tonight, because why is it that we get so riled up when it comes to these, and they're doctrinal differences, they're institutional differences, because, you know, if we say we agree that there's one God and one Savior, one Holy Spirit, then why is it that we are divided? God is not divided. There, and then this is what the Bible says. It says he is not fusion. So he's not instituting all of these, you know, differences when it comes to these denominations. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, brown, whatever. He's not the author of confusion. But it's only when man gets his involvement in godly issues, that's where division comes in. That's where it starts. It starts because we want to have our own input. And just like you said, when they came and asked Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? He said, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So to break that down is love God, love people. But we can't even do that together. And the question is why? Oh, because you believe that, you know, baptism is full submersion, and this one believes that it's just a sprinkling. Why are we so caught up on the way to get baptized? Why can't we just say, listen, man, just be baptized? Whether you get sprinkled, whether you get submerged, man, why can't we just say, listen, that's not even that big of a deal. It's not. But we allow all these differences to come in. We ready to fight. We ready to throw blows. And we fighting over something that most of them don't even understand, because they haven't studied like you've studied. They haven't studied like I've studied. They've been dictated to. And they've been dictated to the point where they have drunk the Kool-Aid and they don't want anything different. And when you come and try to,
I love it.
And you try to tell them that something different, man, you know there's different. Put it this way, even if you want to drink Kool-Aid, there's more than just cherry. You got grape Kool-Aid, you got fruit punch Kool-Aid, you got lemonade, you got all these different flavors of Kool-Aid. You don't have to just drink the cherry. But you even try to tell them that, they're ready to fight. So we got to come out of that, man. We got to come out of it. We got to do better. We got to do better because, like I said, when you read the Bible, or put it this way, if you want to read the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, or any other religious text, show me one that talks about denominations. Show it to me. Because that wasn't God.
Man of God.
Yes, sir.
Man of God. Hey, can I share a best kept secret right quick? Thank you so much. And I can't wait to when this is... It's archived so I can go ahead and download it. And if you go back to that first commandment, and really, this crossed the barriers, whether, you know, you study Judaism, you know, Christianity, or Islam, about, you know, the one God concept. Okay, so all of that is in sync, right? So here, when he said the next one is to love each other, and the best kept secret that a lot of people is missing is that we are accepted according to our scripture, and you can see it primarily in the book of Psalms, Psalm 82, verse 6, I like to quote. But the entire verse is going to clear everything. It says all of you, and it makes no distinction. It says all of you are children of the Most High. And if everybody was to accept that, But if you see that a portion of the Most High, or all of us are children of God, or so I won't say children of the Most High, that's what the scripture says, right? If we can accept
right.
that, it wouldn't be no division. It wouldn't be no, this person is better than that person. None of that.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, man, it's always a pleasure. You know, when you call in and you give your insight, you know, that's come from your experience. And I know you are a very learned individual. So I thank you each and every time you call in and share your thoughts, your comments. I really appreciate it. That is, you know, the Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Enshrinee, Brother Huni Bakantun. We have to go to our next track, and we'll be right back with The Work Is Done. Get your phones. Call in to The Work Is Done.
Out of line.
And I changed it all today.
But I'm so glad.
Because
welcome back to the work is that I am over here getting my praise on. Did you listen to the words of that song? You may be the last person. They're looking for Jesus, but they're looking at you. They're looking at us, who is supposed to be the body. Do people see Jesus when they see you? Or are you too busy? Do you recognize that the love that they need, that's what he's saying in the song, the love they need, God has put that inside of you to be the demonstrator of that love. But we can't do that, people, if we're divided. And this is what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub. He said, man, a kingdom divided can't stand. That doesn't just work for the kingdom of the world. That works for the kingdom of believers, too. If we're divided, we can't stand. It's time for us to be unified. Listen, we're going to continue this very topic on our next broadcast. Thank you all for tuning in. I thank you all for listening. It's time to bring on your mother and father's favorite producer, the one and only, Brother O.
Well, we want to thank our wonderful person, Pastor Kevin Perry, and the work he's done tonight for an outstanding broadcast tomorrow night on these stations. We'll come back with Huddle Sports Nation at Damon Network, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time on these O&E stations. And, of course, Devon Nation is advertising to O&E, which is Ola Deli and Goes Enterprise, which is, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Gozy Primetime 1 at DevNet.com. We're in Gozy Time over Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Gozy at Pinterest and Google Plus. Ola Deli and Malaya and Gozy at Facebook, as well as our business page. The work is done, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, Ola Deli. That goes with my gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli and Malaya and Gozy, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now, the invitation to discipleship by Pastor Kevin Perry. And you have 3 minutes left to go in the program.
Simply put, it's time for us as a body of believers to come together and be unified, because the world needs to see that. When you read Matthew 5, chapter 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your works and glorify your Father in heaven. People are waiting to see your light shine, because they're on the edge of whether to believe or not. And you may very well be their example. And it's not about religion. It's not about denominations. It's about a relationship that we establish with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So for those of you that are out there listening, this may be your first time listening to this crazy pastor. I'm not really crazy, but you may be saying, man, he said some things that I really needed to hear tonight. And if you got anything, or if you're getting anything from this, no one understands that you need a Savior. His name is Jesus, and the word says that there's no other way to come to the Father but by him. And if you're ready to receive him tonight, just simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer tonight, it doesn't mean that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and poop pow, all your troubles are going to be gone. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that you now have a Savior that you can call on that's got your back, regardless of where you are. That's what's important. Thank you all for tuning in to The Work Is Done. Hey, we'll be back here in 4 weeks. Mark your clocks, set your calendars, do whatever you need to do, because you're not going to want to miss what's taking place here when The Work Is Done. Hey, I love you guys. I'll see you next time. Peace.